Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right, we are back with another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. I am your co-host, Danny Wolf.
And I am a currently curled up in a chair co-host, Chris Roberts.
Oh, no. Yeah, you just... I was worried. I'm like, oh, do I need to cancel today? Is Chris going to be okay? Because I know... We're generally meeting 15 to 20 minutes before. Yeah.
It took me like 15 minutes to get down the freaking stairs to the basement.
Oh, no. Hopefully Milo helped you kind of crutch along. No, there.
I love him to death, but he kind of races downstairs, waits for me at the bottom, and asks what the hell's going on. Pierce, can I have a snack?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it looks like the chats are blowing up. Good morning to everyone. We have Matthew, James, Avishai, Maria, the usuals who are on this morning. So thank you for joining us, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be a little more sort of mellowed is the right way of putting it, measured, mostly because my back is killing me. I took 4 Tylenol this morning. Somewhere in this madhouse of a moving house and people building shit all over the place. I think there's some lidocaine patches. If I can find them, I'm going to probably slap 6 of those on my back if I can as well.
Well, feel better. We are always hoping you're feeling better.
I got my cup of tea.
Good. If you have your cup of tea and you have any of those patches, shoot them over to me too. That would be great. All right. So moving forward, the housekeeping part of the show. If you have questions, drop them in the comments, or if you want to come on the show, drop that in the comments as well. That question will bring you onto the show so that you can ask your question to me and Chris. We'll go straight into it today. And this is a special one because it's all the hype today. And it's this email is the one that got me to literally say out loud, oh my God, WTF. Seriously. And... It rhymes with flap fleepy plea.
Oh my gosh.
The use of ChatGPT.
This one's a good one. Yeah, this came in hang on a second.
It came out today, actually. Came in today. I was like, oh, this is gonna be, let's put everything else behind.
Sorry, dogs are barking upstairs. Yeah, it came in. So this came in to me. The original email came in on the 10th of February. And it was, hey, Chris, you don't know me, but I'm trying to understand how companies gauge how satisfied their customers really are. And I think your product experience is relevant. I'm like, and if you have 30 seconds, so now we've got it's not 10 minutes anymore. It's not 10 minutes. We've given up with the 10 minutes thing because apparently it's 30 seconds. It would be super helpful if you could give us some feedback here. Click to another link to go somewhere in the known universe. In return, I have run a software consulting for the past 7 years. I'd be happy to swap advice if that's helpful. I don't quite know where that started. And I'm like, all right. Actually, no, because that wasn't the first one. Because there was another one that came in beforehand. I lie unconvincingly. There was one that came in on the 7th. Do you currently use any tools for collecting video feedback from your customers? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why the heck are you sending this to the CISO? I mean, this is stuff for marketing. Let's start with the easy ones. So the stuff that got aimed at me was marketing stuff, you know, about videos and feedback and decision making and tools to unfiltered feedback from customers. Number one, we're building a sodding aeroplane. Okay. Our customers are the airlines. We kind of know them pretty well. They're not the end user customers just yet. That'll be in several years' time. Number two, if you had to spend 10 seconds researching the last customer, you're gonna figure that shit out, for God's sakes. But number three is like, all right, so now we've got spray and pray. So I did my normal. I'm like, well, the hell with this. I, as most folks on here know, I have 2 template letters. I've got my dear vendor letters, and both of them are done somewhat tongue-in-cheekish, but somewhat bluntly, like, hey, you know, you didn't do any background checking. You just sprayed a prey and prey. It's not relevant. It's full of acronyms. I didn't list contacts. You bought a list and my name was on it. I'm, you know, one or two of these reasons are the logical reasons as to why the heck you're actually getting this email. So then I got feedback, which I actually got some other feedback today, which was interesting. I was, Danny, I'll forward that to you. I'm not sure if you were on that one or not, but I got feedback. Thanks for your, do you want to read this one? Because it got you probably jumpier than it got me.
This is, you know what? Let's flip it. Yes, I would love to read it. This one got me like, seriously, it literally was a what the fuck moment. Like, let me open it. Let's see. I have, by the way, I have in my inbox a special folder called WTF. So this is in WTF. Let's see.
I got another one today that came in. I sent feedback and apparently somebody went line by line. I'm like, if you spent this much time researching my fucking company rather than just sending shit to me, you might have actually gotten somewhere other than on the shit list.
Right. All right, so this one would be so relevant for me because it's literally right up my alley. This is from, to your point earlier, this is for the marketers in the house, even for the salespeople. This is from a customer research, I guess, a customer research platform of sorts. And the subject line is redirect customer feedback. And that would kind of get me going, okay? And so Chris sends out his dear vendors, template, which is excellent. And by the way, I think you should have that regularly going through LinkedIn, not just one post, but regularly.
Yeah, I need to do it again.
And then this fellow writes back, says, "Hey, Chris, thanks for the reply. I took all the capital words from your message, deduped, do enough, all you, if, and or, how to want, can, see so, and ran them through ChatGPT to generate some sort of anagrams. Here are my top three favorites, though it did cheat a bit and pad some words. One, if you do not know how to do, you can ask CISO for help," which I would say is a good piece of advice in general for a marketer. "To do enough, you need to know how to do all you can. To do and," I feel like this is philosophy 101, seriously. "To do and to don't, how can you know if you can do enough?" Philosophy 201. Mostly unrelated, "Did you do any work with Platform One a couple years back? I followed some of the stuff." I don't know who this gentleman is, by the way, and I can't even pronounce his last name. Whoever was doing at the time, but he's obviously since moved on. I'm just like, really? Like, did you not consume what was written there? I mean, I don't know. You break it down. You tell me what's wrong there. I know what's wrong there, but let's hear it from your lens of the world.
I think it's so you send out 100 messages, you get 10, 20 responses. I think for me is, admittedly, okay, mine is not a tailored response. What even was that email? Believe me, we're still trying to figure that shit out. I hold the thoughts for a second on this one. Here's where I think it gets interesting is, you're right, my responses back are not tailored. We actually had another one that came in today as well. I actually want to go through in a second if I can find the bloody thing. I think I actually just archived or growled at it. I've taken time, we've taken time, and Danny and I, a bunch of other folks on here who have taken time to go, hey, look, this shit ain't working. It really isn't working. So what do we do to try to do something more effective or do it differently? And I can't, and I'm not going to answer every single spam email individually. I'm going to try to do something to actually get people to think. And I think that's a lot of what we try to do is like, how do we get you to think? And so those two dear vendor letters are very much out there for a reason. They are to make you take a step back and go, wow, what did I send? Why did I send it? What was the logic for sending it? And could I have been more efficient or more effective with my time? And so when you get one of these back and your only reaction is to either ridicule it, to I wouldn't say tear it to pieces, because this wasn't even torn to pieces. I mean, to ridicule it, to completely miss the message and logic and reason for sending the thing back to you in the first damn place, or in this case, to, I don't know what the smeg they were trying to do with ChatGPT. I don't know. I mean, let's face it, ChatGPT isn't exactly much more than a freaking auto response system on steroids. So when you try to make light of something that's actually a fairly serious subject, in other words, interactions with your fellow humankind in this environment, and you try to make fun of it or make light of it, and you send it back to the very recipient that actually tried to take some time to actually send you some fucking feedback, at that point in time, then you're ending up on this show. So Samuel Schlesinger, your ass is grass as far as I'm concerned. I'm less than impressed with the responses. I don't care whether you're founder of a damn company or not. And I'd say the same thing to you if we were in person. I think that's the other problem I see with this one as well. There was another one. I'm actually going to find it in a minute when I hand over to Danny. There was another one. Actually, there were two. And we'll talk about that one in a second. But I think it comes down to, if I sat there and I gave you this feedback in person, would you really do the same thing to me? Or would you actually maybe take a step back, listen, introspectively review and go, maybe I should change my tune? So with that, I'm going to hand it to Danny. I'm going to try and find the second one that came.
That's out. A great question. If it's in person versus not, I remember what it felt like in person. For those of you who have tuned into my my live talk at Cyber Marketing Con, the whole kind of backstory was how we met, and that was not fun. And it switched the way, totally flipped the way I was going about things. So. I mean, I feel like this gentleman had an opportunity even to say, okay, well, I made a mistake. Sorry about that, first and foremost. Second of all, do even more research. Say, okay, who's Chris associated with, right? I mean, it's pretty blatant. You and I are associated on the podcast, through LinkedIn. We've done stuff together. And I am that person's direct audience. So he could have had an opportunity to sell me, but I don't know anymore. Just because of that, I don't even think I'm going to click in to see what the company is about.
I think it's because there was another one that came in. I'm going to see if I can find it. And it was another response back on the came in this morning. Let's see if I can find it. I think I copied you on it, but don't quote me on that one.
Is it the one that you sent me earlier today? That you sent me three chains today, or yeah, one that didn't have a chain?
There was another one that I sent back, and it was to look. I'm pretty sure it might have been in the rubbish box or something like that.
While you're looking, I have actually a question back to the audience. So has anybody used ChatGPT to help them write emails and outreach and kind of sorts? And has the second question is, has it been successful in engaging with your ideal customer? So that's my question to the audience. If so, let's hear it. If not, I would love to hear it as well. And why? That's an interesting conversation because we haven't had any conversation. For me, it's at least compelling.
My concern, I mean, while everybody's thinking about it, I mean, the concern I have with ChatGPT, it's another one of those TikTok things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's another system that is set up to learn through assimilation of information. And the more information you get it, you know, the more in theory it could actually become more, I wouldn't say more sentient, not ChatGPT, but more aware and more interesting stuff. My concern is obviously you are handing over information and intelligence to a system that you have no control of.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, I mean, yes, we know who the developers are behind it, but that's great. But that doesn't mean they will always be there. So it was one of those things where it's, we had a conversation internal to the organization, which was along the lines of, for crying out loud, don't you dare ever bloody use this thing for anything internal. Because,
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's like people have tested stuff on it, and I'm seeing a lot of the testing stuff. I mean, that's really all it is. It's kind of cool, don't get me wrong. But as it comes into something more efficient and more effective, we still have a long way to go. We still have a hell of a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Who said it? I think I saw a post or a meme of sorts, a Twitter thread, actually. Somebody called it spicy autocomplete.
That was actually, I know exactly who that was. Ian Amit.
I thought that was hilarious. Yeah,
that's good. And that's really what it is. Ian was absolutely spot on. I commented on that and I was like, oh, hell yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Because, I mean, that's really all it is. It's we talk about intelligent systems. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because, I mean, you look at the future of where our world and our communication systems are going. And we have it now. We have it, you know, when you dial into like a healthcare system, in a lot of cases, you end up with some kind of an autonomous system. And they're getting better, no two ways about it. But it's a very, very narrow... You know, people talk about AI and ML, and it's a very, very narrow intelligent system that's got one very, very specific design. And I think that's why I don't like something like ChatGPT, because we're trying to throw too much at it. It reminds me very much of, do you remember, it was several years ago when Twitter was still actually Twitter as opposed to the dumpster fire that it currently is. Somebody put out there like a Twitter bot that was meant to learn. It was a AIML type of a Twitter bot, and it was meant to learn. And like within hours, if that, somebody would have to look it up on the internet. This thing turned up into like literally a neo-Nazi bot that wanted to assimilate half the world and kill almost everybody else off because it got trained. I mean, it came in there relatively empty, like, hi, I'm really nice. And people like, ha, playtime. And we trained the hell out of it, but we trained it to be nasty. And so you look at the ChatGPT algorithm, you're like, okay, it's taking in more data, it's taking in more architecture, it's got a better backend. But what are we doing to this? How are we training it? How is it learning? How is it understanding the algorithms? And you take it further and you start looking, you know, to a couple of folks on here, it's as we move forward in our industry, how much autonomous outreach is there likely to be? You know, Danny, you talk about this in sales and marketing. You know, how much are we going to replace the first line of sales and marketing folks, those original outreach people, with more autonomous systems? And if so, what the heck is training them? How are they being trained? How are they being managed? How are they being monitored? How often is that data refreshed? Who's building the bloody things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's some interesting ways of looking at this one.
Mm-hmm. If you, you know, we went back and forth with some ideas to help with research ideas and using these kind of technologies. What, in your opinion, are some good ways, or are there good ways to use these types of tools for research purposes, or OSINT, or that kind of stuff?
Oh, I think there's some fantastic ways to use this data. Mm-hmm. I mean, we as humans and we as a society are generating more and more data than we can handle. I mean, I think I remember a couple of years ago, it was, you know, we had exabytes, and then we were like, okay, now we need to start looking at bigger, start looking at yettabytes and everything else like that. And it's, I think if I remember rightly, and somebody can correct me online, it was like every 2 years, give or take a little bit, we were basically doubling the amount of data that we actually produced. So when you start looking at that, you get to the point where it's like, okay, great, we can put an entire set of drives to the moon and back of the amount of data that we're dealing with. And then you have to turn around and go, okay, how do we actually effectively use that data? So well, we have some amazing folks on the data analysts and data analytics side of the world. As humans, we can't process all of it. This is why in event log monitoring systems, we've gone from having, you know, SIMS and SIEMS and God only knows what else, other acronyms you want to throw, basically a set of logs coming into a system, to having playbooks and security orchestration systems. So in other words, the system itself learns your environment within reason, and it knows how to take some effective measures, first line, second line measures on things before it hands it off to you. So I think in those contexts, in the contexts of, let's say, threat intelligence, perfect example, I mean, let's look at your and I's background. In threat intelligence, there are so many pieces of a puzzle. How do we effectively get a view? How do we effectively see the picture? Well, we do that through trying to tag everything automatically and go, is there any context? Can any inference be drawn? If so, what can the machine do? Can it run 1,000 different simulations or 1,000,000 different simulations and go, hey, I've got a probability of this? So maybe it's something to look at. And it's the same thing. We look at not even just threat intel, you look inside your organization, anomalous detection. You know, we're doing it on the avionics systems. You know, it's if I fly an airplane 100 times or 1,000 times on a route, I get a pretty good idea as to what my standard deviations from norm are. In other words, I know the heat cycles, I know the fuel, I know all these other kind of really, really cool things. And if I see a deviation from those, then I can actually build an anomaly. But as a human, I can't take in 1,000,000 pieces of information off an airplane to figure that out. That's where we rely upon the machine architecture and some pretty amazing data scientists to figure this one out. So there's definitely a future, but it's very, very narrow band. Somebody actually just said it, Tracy Buckley just said it, which is like a personal assistant thing. I think, again, you could probably train it. In my case, I trained it to ask for tea, biscuits, and go bloody hell every 5 seconds. That's very cool.
I've been using it to kind of validate some of the things that I've been collecting in the past year qualitatively, which has been really eye-opening and helped me kind of bridge some gaps and then go down some more rabbit holes in terms of research. So it's like really as like a guide or a lane line or a guideline to kind of see what I could learn even more to enrich what I've already done manually and well, I think, at least semi-well. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. It's just a really interesting kind of use case, this whole ChatGPT thing for go-to-market teams, sales and marketing, that kind of thing, and also for technology, so...
Yeah, for a tech standpoint, I would agree. I don't think it's a ChatGPT. I think something that can take an inbound, we look at the email I sent to the person. Something that could take that inbound feedback and actually maybe adjust its algorithm. You know, you think about it. If your initial algorithm, dear Salesforce, by the way, here's an idea for you, dear Salesforce. If you take this idea up, you owe Danny and I at least a couple of tea off of this one. But I mean, if you take, let's just say you do a spray and pay campaign, and out of 1,000 hits, you get 10, 20 responses. Well, okay, so that's not effective. So now your autonomous algorithm goes, what is more effective? Well, maybe more effective is do more research. So now you do a little bit more research. You have an autonomous system that goes out and does more research. It doesn't just rely on the inbound, you know, they're a CISO, they're this kind of company, it's this size, let's just send a generic bunch of shit out. Maybe you do a little bit more research. You have that autonomous system go out to social media, go out to RSA conference, Black Hat conferences, and go, have they talked anywhere? Great. What context can I put around that outbound email? So I've now got more context. Great. Now you have a piece of feedback that comes in that says, hey, you Muppet, you actually didn't do anything else. Can you have an autonomous system that takes that inbound and then takes a look at it and goes, hey, I need to do more. I need to tailor it to be more efficient. I need to understand. So now that autonomous algorithm goes out and goes, okay, they're a CISO. They've been in that role for a year in my case. Let's just say in this company, they've done it years in other companies, but they've been in a year. Now let me take a step back, look at my own lookup tables that I've built over the years and gone, typically a CISO that's been at this kind of a company for 12 months, this is where they are in their life cycle. Hey, now I can take that and put more context in my email. Hey, Chris, figure you're probably focusing on this, this, and this, would love to have a conversation about this, this, and this. Great. That can all be done autonomously.
Mm.
Easy stuff. That shit ain't that hard. That's basically taking 2 or 3 data sets, a bunch of bloody lookups, a bunch of intel stuff, putting it together, and now I have a tailored message. Now, rather than spray and pray, I've got, and again, to your point, why would we use a machine to do this? Well, because as a human, profiling Chris takes 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, let's just say. So 30 minutes times 100 people, it's expensive, but
you can train an autonomous system to do that, so it can do 1,000 people in the same time, and I've just done one. Now I have 1,000 tailored messages that are more efficient, more effective. Maybe the messaging on how and what I'm trying to sell somebody is a little bit different. I'm not asking for a meeting next Tuesday. I'm realizing that I'm in Q2, therefore these are probably my focuses. I'm trying to sell in Q4. Good luck on that one, because, well, on one hand, maybe I've got some spare money, but on the other hand, I'm trying to focus on end of year priorities. So you've got all these other things to think about. You can take in geopolitical situations. Perfect example, trying to sell in the US during like June, July, and August, and potentially September is hard work because everybody's scattered to the four winds. Turn it the other way around, you look at Southern Hemisphere, you look at APAC. So now maybe your AI architecture could take in, hey, where the hell is my customer? If my customer's operating out of the Middle East, well, then I've got maybe the beginning of January is a very fair area. If I'm operating out of India, here are the major holidays. I don't want to be sending messages during this. Or if I do, hey, happy this, would love to have a conversation. So this is an effective use of an intelligent system. And I mean, in some ways, I'm killing myself when you look at it, because now I've just given fucking Salesforce or somebody the ability to now more effectively tailor an attack against me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of great things have been developed from a lot of the conversations that we've had on our podcast. So maybe we might productize something, you know. I know we've been chatting about something.
We've been chatting behind the scenes on this one, yeah. But that's doing it right.
Right.
You know, that's taking and this is one of those things where, you know, I put that TikTok profile out a couple of weeks ago or a month or so ago, and I'm like, yeah, here's you and here's all the shit show around it. I need to do one for humans. I did one years and years ago. I've got to find it again. But I mean, you think about it again, what could, not a ChatGPT, but I mean, if you teamed up with a sales, what the hell do you call those things? CRMs or what we'll call customer...
customer relationship management system.
There we go, a customer relationship management. Yeah, you turn up with like a custom filing patents now. Justin, you owe us at least a decent bottle or something if you actually get this one. But I mean, this is where, I mean, if you do it properly, you're taking Thread Intel, OSINT, HumInt, SIGINT, and you're turning it into an effective mechanism to sell. You're going, hey, here's Chris. Right, here's Chris. He is based in North America. So now we have now we bring down the North America profile. Now let's take a look at Chris. Chris is on Twitter. Chris is on LinkedIn. Chris is here. Chris is the CISO. Chris is this. So now you can turn and go, okay, here's the LinkedIn profile. Here's this. Here's this. You start linking all this together, and now you have a more effective message. Now you have context. Now I don't get messages about inbound freaking CRM databases. You know what? You just knock that shit out because you realize that Chris is a CISO, and typically a CISO at a mid-sized billion-dollar organization, blah, 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 has got fuck all to do with the sales and marketing database inside the company. So you don't even bother, which means you don't piss him off, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a way, I think, of doing it that could be actually ridiculously effective and horribly efficient, unfortunately. You know, for those of us that are sitting facing this barrage, it could be effective, a lot more effective than it currently is. I mean, good grief alive.
We have a good question here. And I, unfortunately, I'm not going to bring on Tracy because I know that there are a lot of issues with the connection.
Found it.
Oh, you found it?
Yeah, I'm going to forward it to you while we're talking.
Sounds good. Then we'll get into the question because we have that one more. Let's see. One more thread here. You want to bring it up?
Me?
Yeah, I just forwarded it to you. I'm actually going to. So it was actually an interesting one because the original inbound email, it came in end of last week. And I'll read it. And it's and it was like, hi, as a business owner, you understand. I'm like, And this actually came into my, this did come into my Boom organization. So first and foremost, you didn't even do the basics. Boom, not my company. I got a boss. He's pretty fucking awesome. It's his company. And by the way, it's also the investor's company. Not mine. I work there. Cause chaos and mayhem. Let's start with the easy one. So you understand the importance of staying competitive in today's market. One way to do that is by creating an inclusive organization. No fear, uncertainty, doubt, you know, tasers. That's probably a nice way of doing things too. But as with any new initiative, there are likely to be objections. Objections to inclusivity. That's an interesting one, isn't it, in today's age? We've identified the five most common objections, and we're here to help you overcome them. Now, I actually don't mind this in some ways, because in some ways it's not a bad email, but again, it's not focused. And then they got objective one, you know, then they go through this. So this is, it's an interesting one. And then the end of it is the sales pitch. Don't let these objections hold you back. Schedule your idea assessment today and start creating a sustainable, inclusive organization. So, okay, here's the initial feedback.
Yeah. So close.
So close, but so far off. Again, back to what I said. If you'd have congratulations on Boom, I don't want to be the owner of Boom. Blake is way better, way nicer, way more effective, and he's freaking awesome. And I kind of got some, yeah, pretty awesome guy. We'll just leave it at that. I don't want to be the owner of Boom. I'm happy being my position. Sorry, scroll moment. I see the messages come in. I freaking love them. So here's the thing on this one. First and foremost, if somebody done their research, one, they would have found out that Boom is reasonably sized, and we also have a people team or HR team, whichever you want to look at. We call them people team because apparently it's a friendlier than calling them human leftovers. So we have a people team, and that people team typically, now inclusivity is everybody's responsibility. Don't get me started there. I actually 100% agree with that. I know a lot of people who don't. It kind of sucks. It's kind of like security. Everybody's responsibility. But the people team drive the initial conversations about culture, about inclusivity and everything else. You know, we will look at the message. We get to help put the message together, but then they drive it. And then we help drive and disseminate it from there. So why on this great green freaking planet do you target me in the first place and go, hey, I can help you with your inclusivity plan? No, you can't. What? There's an entire people team. Go talk to those buggers. So first and foremost, completely wrong target. You shot on that one. So I sent the message back, and the message I sent back was the dear vendor message. It isn't working. How do you know it's not working? Because you're getting this letter from me. Why? Because at least one of the following. And so I got a note back. And this is where I get frustrated because, again, y'all didn't take notice on this. So I answered your objections. This was quite fun. Thank you. Well, it wasn't actually meant to be fun, but whatever. So you didn't do enough background checking to see if this would work. It doesn't. Answer, there isn't a way to see if it's working other than trying. I'm like, utter twaddle. I mean, good God's alive. What a bunch of bullshit. All you got to do is look up the company I bloody work for and realize there's a people team. Go give them grief and hassle, not me, you muppet. Here's the next one. You decided to spray and pray sales tactic markets who are effective. They're not. Answer, cold email has been effective for me. About 1/3 of my clients were found this way. So what about the other 2/3 of your clients that weren't found this way that may be done from relationships? And by the way, the 1/3 of the clients you found this way, you probably pissed off God knows how many along the way to get those 1/3 of clients. It's not relevant or even the same ball. Answer, inclusion should be in everybody's ball. God, can't, won't disagree with that, but your focus is still off. And it just goes on from there. And I think this is where the frustration is. Again, we're trying to take time to talk with people. we're trying to have an effective set of conversations, but if all your muppety ass is going to do is to ridicule it, then why the hell do we even bother? I don't get it. I just don't get it. You give you the opportunity. Oh God, there's probably another one coming in as well.
I don't understand number 5 and 6. Sorry, I wish people could see this, but number 6 is just cherry on top.
That's some crazy. I mean, they're right. Inclusivity is everybody's. I don't say it's a problem. Is everybody's should be in everybody's wheelhouse. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
You bought a list and my name was on it. I didn't ask for this and you didn't ask me if this was okay. Answer. I can't ask you if it's okay without sending an initial email. If the person didn't opt in, you do not send the email. It's very simple.
Or at the very least, you know, be honest. Send me an email going, hey, I'd love to pitch you. You know what? I got your name on a list. I bought your name on a list. I did a little bit of research. I know that approaching you is likely to get me flambéed, but I just want to know, can we have a conversation? Let me know. Yes or no. And that's it. Don't try to sell me on what. Don't try to tell me whatever it is.
Yeah.
At the very, 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 very least, just approach me and say, hey, look, I bought your name on a list. Be fucking honest for a change.
Mm. Yeah.
Because honestly, I think if somebody actually approached me and said, hey, look, I didn't see you at a conference. I didn't talk to you at all. I didn't do anything. So now I don't have to do any research to find out. I didn't see you anywhere else on LinkedIn. I did a quick look on you. I bought your name on a list. Can we have a conversation or not? The chances are you're probably going to get a bloody answer because at least there's some honesty there.
All right.
Justin, I mean, I specifically had to remove both of you from any blind email. I clearly banging my shit on people. Now, I get it. Here's the challenge. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because on one hand, I kind of want to know what's out there. This is why I'm relying a lot on Victoria and the Kaliti crew. Because I want to know what's out there. I don't have time to know what's out there, but I kind of want to know what's out there as best as I can. But what I don't have the time to do is to play that, hey, we need 10 minutes or we need 20 minutes or we need this or whatever else it is. I think that's one of those things where it gets really frustrating is, you know, it's a balance. On one hand, I got to keep my eye on the industry because I have my project set for 23, you know, and I've got everything I need to know what's going on. I kind of want to keep an eye on it. And that's part of the reason you go to conferences. But on the other hand, there's got to be a better way. ChatGPT isn't the better way.
Yeah.
But I definitely do think if somebody feels like coming up with an actual autonomous architecture that is effective, I'm all for it to some degree because at least I'll get targeted.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Well, I'm asking. There we go. I'm asking for targeted spam. Let's just be honest. I mean, please don't send me this. Send me targeted spam, please.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
As a business name. Targeted spam. 50% off. Anyway. I love this conversation. And you know, echoing what Maria just said, we fixed it. We sent out something to Chris by accident, automation, we fixed it.
Yeah.
No, you know, I think one thing to be honest also about, hey, you know, we screwed up. Sorry about that. We're going to fix that right now. Just, you know, it happens. We all know that automation occurs. And just mentioning that, you know, it won't happen again and saying that you're going to fix it it goes a long way. So.
Oh, more than just a long way. I mean, I think that's, and again, you know, it's Maria as well. I mean, I've got a huge soft spot for that organization because they have been honest. They have been upfront. There is integrity there. And again, they're targeted. They know what the hell they're doing. They know what the focus is.
Oh my God, Avi. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. But I mean, I think that's it. It's, you know, it comes back to this. Okay, you're asking me for something. Almost every single one of these is asking for time. At the very least, if you're asking me for 10 minutes, at least have spent 10 minutes researching.
Mm.
That's all I can
ask for. This actually brings up another one. I'm actually going to drop a LinkedIn post out about this one because it actually annoyed me. It annoyed me for a couple of reasons. There we go. So I've noticed in the last couple of months a number of folks on LinkedIn that I tried talking with back in like my Ativo days or my Acalvio days or even when I was running my own companies. So like, would you get out of my cup of tea? Yeah, you.
By the way, my, you know, pups are totally welcome today. I think it's like hashtag I love your pet day or something like that. So please, yeah.
Day, so yeah. Even though he slobbers on everything. Hi. So I've noticed people that I'd reached out to a while ago, for a variety of reasons. It might have been just as a connection. It might have been because I might have needed something from them. Like, hey, I saw something, I needed something. Or it might have just been like, hey, I'm trying to build business. And I'd reached out in a way. Can you hear that whistle?
Probably, sounds like a bomb siren to me.
No shit, yeah. That's the wind coming through these crappy windows down in the lab space.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it's a little chilly down here. So I noticed that these people hadn't hit me up or hadn't responded or whatever. Okay, I can deal with that. Now that to some degree the shoe is on the other foot and I'm inside an organization and I have access to a checkbook, they're starting to respond back and starting to get back to me. So somebody, I've had a few of these where people have finally hit me up and I had one the other evening and it was a little frustrating because I'd hit them up like 2 years ago and I actually remember why I hit them up. And all of a sudden I get a message back from them 2 years later. I think when somebody had probably pointed out that Chris is now not actually out there to try to actually get business. Chris is out there to be sold to. Now they actually want to have a conversation. So I hit a message on this one. And the response back was really interesting and a little sour grapes, shall we say. Yeah, get out of the rubbish bin.
Yeah,
you. So he sneaks behind my desk and goes, sticks his head in the rubbish bin to see if there's anything interesting, then realizes there isn't, and then comes back up. Can you see this on the screen? Comes back up on the other side of the damn screen because he knows I get snacks on this one. Yeah, I love your idea. Go for it.
All right. Well, we're heading towards the end of the session. I want to keep these under 1 hour, actually under 45, but we'll address questions for next time. But I do want to kind of crowdsource a live poll, if you will, and drop your answers in the comments. As you, as several of you know, Audience First, we launched the Startup Academy. We already kicked off the Essentials course for the CISO Value Distillery. Super great. It's a foundational course for understanding the role of the CISO and the cohort course for actual value creation for CISOs. As they would like it and need it is live right now. We have a pre-sale going on. But if Chris and I were to teach a course, what kind of online course would you all like and need? Drop your answers in the comments. We'd love to hear and get your feedback. We have some ideas. We have some outlines, but we want to get feedback from all of you. Anything you want to impart on the audience today, Chris, before we sign off?
Yeah, don't put your back out.
Yeah.
No, it's you know, I think we've said this a little bit before, but I think I'll say it again. You know, we started off having the ChatGPT conference. We started off having security sales for startups. Yeah, big one on that one. We do not slobber on my damn keyboard. We started off talking like the ChatGPT, the anonymous stuff, and everything else. I think it's approach every conversation as if that person was sitting 4 feet away from you across the table. You know, I think that's the big thing for me. You know, if you get critical feedback, in other words, if somebody is just to sit there and call you ugly across the table, I mean, you've got a couple of reactions. You can smack them upside the head. You can take a step back and go, huh, let me have a conversation about that for a second.
there's reactions, but I think it is one of those where, you know, we forget we're in the digital age. We forget that ChatGPT, we cut and paste it and send it back and don't think about it. We receive feedback. We want to send something out. We have communications. And this has been an ongoing issue for a long, long time. And I'm guilty of it. I will freely admit that I'm guilty of it at times, but I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to go, as I'm bashing on the keyboard and mashing the keys, would I say this to the person if they were right next to me? And if the answer is yes, then hit send. But if the answer is a hesitation or a maybe, maybe not, then maybe you need to take a step back and go through that message again and go, why wouldn't I want a reaction to this? And look at it that way. So I think that's my feedback is, you know, approach every conversation as if it was real time in person, and that person stood there, and you have to accept the consequences of your actions.
I am on mute because the pups are barking, and hopefully they won't bark very loud into this microphone. I love that piece of advice. I think just one thing I would like to impart is a tool is a tool. Don't rely on it for everything. Use it with a grain of salt. If you don't have a strategy for the tool, the tool's not for you. If you don't know how to use the tool, the tool's not for you. And with all the hype also, particularly around ChatGPT and stuff, again, use it with a grain of salt. I think a great way to use it is just validation and as lane lines for the way you should be doing things on a human element, right? So that's what I would like to sign off with. But this has been awesome. We're doing this every 2 weeks, by the way, folks. I know some of you are upset. We are sorry, but we need time and we need to start building out some more things that are going to help all of you, and as such, bi-weekly.
Yeah, this horrible thing called life keeps getting in the way. Let's face it, for both Danny and I and everybody else that's behind the system. So this is, and again, I'm sorry as well, but it's this way it is more effective. We are more effective. We actually have time to put this stuff together. Good grief, I like this whole bunch of great comments coming in on this.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
We're going to have fun with this one. Yeah. Q&A sessions for those who want to hang on. Yeah, that'd be cool. Actually, maybe we just do that 1 week. We just do a Q&A session and be done with it.
Yeah. How about the next time we'll do Q&A session for...
Just all Q&A. Oh, look, come armed with questions. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll put a LinkedIn post out on the Sunday beforehand.
Yeah.
And we come armed with questions. Bring me your tired, your weary, and your questionings ones. So I'll take a little bit from Statue of Liberty.
All right, everybody. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you all. You are awesome. We are out.
We're out of here. Stay safe. Stay warm. See you.